Imagine waking up tomorrow to discover there's no central you inside your head, no mental control room where consciousness happens, no inner observer watching a private mental movie. This isn't science fiction. It's the startling conclusion of Daniel Dennett's revolutionary work. The intuitive model most of us carry, that consciousness occurs in a specific place in our brain where all sensory information comes together, is what Dennett calls the Cartesian theater, and it's completely wrong. This misconception creates an infinite regress. If there's a viewer watching the show in your mind, who's watching inside that viewer's mind? Another smaller viewer? The absurdity becomes clear. Instead, consciousness emerges from multiple parallel processes distributed throughout the brain, with no central headquarters where it all comes together. Your brain doesn't create a single, definitive version of reality. It generates multiple drafts simultaneously. Think of consciousness as more like Wikipedia than a printed encyclopedia. It's constantly being edited from multiple sources with no final, authoritative version. This explains puzzling phenomena like the Phi effect, where two different colored dots flashed in sequence appear to change color mid-movement. Your brain isn't sending information backward in time, it's simply making its best interpretation after receiving all relevant information. When you become aware of something isn't a precise moment, but emerges from distributed processes occurring over hundreds of milliseconds. Ask yourself, exactly when did you become conscious of the last sentence you read? The question itself assumes a false model of how consciousness works. Consciousness evolved through three processes: genetic evolution, phenotypic plasticity, and mimetic evolution. It began with simple organisms developing boundaries between self and world, creating the first primitive point of view. As creatures evolved, they developed the ability to anticipate rather than merely react. The Baldwin effect accelerated this. When specific neuroconfigurations offered survival advantages, populations gradually shifted toward being born with optimal wiring. The greatest transformation came through memes, ideas spreading by imitation. Words, concepts, and technologies evolved based on their replicative success, reshaping our brains to accommodate them. This explains why literate and illiterate minds differ, and why cultural differences affect consciousness itself. Human consciousness operates like a virtual machine on neural hardware, not originally designed for such complexity. This Joycean machine emerged when early humans who used vocalizations began asking themselves questions and discovered they could self-prompt answers. Children progress from overt self-talk to whispered speech, and finally to silent internal monologue. This self-stimulation connects previously separate brain systems, enabling new cognitive abilities. Language transforms consciousness by scaffolding complex thought through internal dialogue. Unlike a computer's algorithms, our mental processing relies on associative chains, not guaranteed solutions, but strategic memory explorations. What makes this conscious? Our thoughts are visible and audible to our own perceptual systems, using the same machinery we use to perceive the external world. Traditional models assume speech starts with clear meaning that gets translated into words, but experience suggests otherwise. Dennett's pandemonium model proposes speech begins as noise, progressively shaped by competing word demons, multiple potential expressions vying for attention simultaneously. This explains why authors often discover their intentions through writing. As E.M. Forster noted, "How do I know what I think until I see what I say?" Cases where meaning becomes fragmented support this model of multiple competing processes rather than a single controlling entity. Look around the room right now. You feel you're seeing everything in rich detail, but that's an illusion. Your brain doesn't need to represent every detail internally. The world itself serves as external storage. Your visual system's sensories monitor for changes, triggering eye movements to bring your high-resolution fovea to bear on anything interesting. Eye-tracking experiments demonstrate this dramatically. When words on a screen are changed during an eye movement, readers remain completely unaware of the substitution. Even substantial alterations go unnoticed if timed precisely with eye movements. This happens not because visual input is suppressed during eye movements, but because there's no prior detailed representation to compare against. Consider seeing wallpaper with hundreds of identical portraits. You focus on only one or two images, yet instantly perceive walls covered with identical detailed images. Your brain doesn't photocopy that high-resolution image across your visual field. It simply labels the region more of the same, without rendering each one. This perceptual strategy represents a brilliant evolutionary solution to processing vast amounts of visual information with limited neural resources. The self isn't a physical thing in your brain, but an abstraction, a center of narrative gravity that serves as the owner of record for your experiences. Just as spiders spin webs without understanding why, humans spin webs of words and deeds that form the self. This biological imperative manifests through our constant storytelling. Unlike other creatures, we continuously represent ourselves through language, creating elaborate autobiographical narratives. These stories aren't consciously crafted. Rather, our tales are spun, but for the most part, we don't spin them. They spin us. Multiple personality disorder provides compelling evidence that there need not be exactly one self per body. Different personalities emerge as separate narrative centers, each with their own memories and preferences. The distinctness of different narratives is what creates different selves, not physical boundaries. Your self is like a center of gravity in physics, not a real thing, but a magnificent theoretical fiction that helps predict behavior. This understanding challenges both materialist reductions of consciousness and dualist notions of a spiritual essence, suggesting instead that the self is a sophisticated biological adaptation enabling human social life and personal development. The scientific understanding of consciousness doesn't diminish human experience, but transforms and enriches it. Just as understanding how rainbows form doesn't make them less beautiful, knowing the neural basis of consciousness reveals layers of complexity and elegance that Mysterian approaches could never uncover. By rejecting the Cartesian theater and embracing the multiple drafts model, we gain a more sophisticated understanding of consciousness as a distributed process emerging from countless parallel operations across the brain. This perspective resolves numerous philosophical puzzles while opening new avenues for research. Though initially counterintuitive, as it conflicts with our subjective sense of consciousness as a unified, continuous stream, it ultimately provides a more coherent account of what it means to be conscious. The next time you reflect on your own awareness, remember, there's no single place where you exist, no central control room where consciousness happens. Instead, you are a magnificent, ever-changing symphony of parallel processes, constantly creating and revising the story that becomes your sense of self.